I turned this on, huh? I mentioned earlier, but it's Thanksgiving this week. Can you believe it? Can you believe this year is gone? I mean, Thanksgiving's this week, then Christmas starts, right? I mean, it's unbelievable that we're literally at the end of November already. It's incredible. And Angie talked about it a little bit earlier. We have so much to be thankful for as Christians, don't we? Angie once asked the question, as a matter of fact, that if you woke up today only with the things you gave God thanks for yesterday, what would you have today? Brings up some things you need to think about, doesn't it? Because we don't often spend enough time in Thanksgiving. We spend a lot of time complaining. We spend a lot of time looking at the world, and it seems like the world right now is a dumpster fire, right? And so we spend a lot of time complaining about that. I actually found a guy. His name is Ralph Cherrill. Ralph Cherrill is considered the world's greatest complainer. First of all, did you know this existed? Secondly, would you want to be this guy? Now, I want to tell you, and he was about 25 years ago or so. So it was some time ago that this story was written, but he made $100,000 a year complaining, writing complaints. He got up every day and made phone calls and wrote letters of complaint to different companies, different people, and he literally made money this way. He made $100,000 a year this way. He wrote a couple of books on how to do his method. Would you want to be a world champion complainer? I think I would rather be a world champion praiser or thanker, not a world champion complainer. But this guy, literally, that's what he does. That's what he did. And what I'm afraid of is that we get in this cycle of complaining and we stay in it. We stay in this cycle because as soon as we start complaining about stuff, then it's pretty easy to stay there, isn't it? Then pretty soon everything looks as bad as what we're complaining about. Everything is wrong. Everything is an injustice. And you can literally see this in our world today, can't you? People stuck in the cycle of complaining. And so we're going to go to Psalm 34 this morning. If you want to turn there in your Bibles, Psalm 34. Now, Psalm 34, I have to tell you, I give you this warning. It doesn't talk about life being awesome. It doesn't talk about a life of no problems. That's not what Psalm 34 presents. What Psalm 34 presents is God at work in our problems, in and through the stuff that happens in life. And so let's read. It's 22 verses, so I'm going to read it through. It is up here behind me. And then we'll kind of come back and hit some of the high points. So Psalm 34, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. I will boast in the Lord. The humble will hear and be glad. Proclaim the Lord's greatness with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he answered me. He rescued me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant with joy. Their faces will never be ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him from all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and rescues them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. How happy is the person who takes refuge in him. You who are his holy ones, fear the Lord, for those who fear him lack nothing. Young lions lack food and go hungry, but those who seek the Lord will not lack any good thing. Come, children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is someone who desires life, living a long life to enjoy what is good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from deceitful speech. Turn away from evil and do what is good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry for help. The face of the Lord is set against those who do what is evil, to remove all memory of them from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears and rescues them from all their troubles. The Lord is near the brokenhearted. He saves those crushed in spirit. One who is righteous has many adversities, but the Lord rescues him from them all. He protects all his bones. None of them are broken. Evil brings death to the wicked, and those who hate the righteous will be punished. The Lord redeems the life of his servants, and all who take refuge in him will not be punished. Now, some years ago, we studied Psalm 119. I know some of you remember that study. And as we studied Psalm 119, we looked at what's called the Hebrew alphabet, It's called the alphabet because those are the two first letters, alphabet. But we looked at this and we saw that Psalm 119 is an acrostic of the Hebrew alphabet. It goes straight through. So the first eight verses, I think it is, all start with Aleph. And the next eight verses all start with Bet. And so it goes through the Hebrew alphabet as an acrostic all the way through Psalm 119. Psalm 34 is also an acrostic, but it's what's called a broken acrostic because there's a letter missing and there's another one that's used twice. Now, that's kind of interesting, especially since as we read this psalm, you can understand this is how life comes at us, isn't it? It comes at us out of order and sometimes doubled, right? So we can understand life comes at us this way sometimes. But what's important is what's missing and what's doubled. Because what's missing is the word or is the letter Wah. Now Wah represents man, represents mankind. And so what the structure of the psalm says is take man out of it. Take man out. Take your eyes off yourself and focus on God. Take mankind out. And then what's even more important, perhaps, is what's doubled. Because in both verse 16 and verse 22, the Hebrew letter that starts there is pay. Now, pay means mouth. And the Hebrew mind, the word of God, came literally from the lips of God. And so it's the spoken word of God is how they understood it. So the structure of this psalm tells us that life comes at us out of order and sometimes double. It also tells us that if we take ourselves out of it and double down on what God says, then we can have a life of praise and a life of thanksgiving. We can have the life that's described here by taking ourselves out of it and doubling down on what God says. So how do we have this? The first three verses talk about blessing the Lord at all times, always having praise in our mouths. How do we have this? We have it because of what verses 4 through 7 tell us. Verses 4 through 7 tell us the times that God rescued us. How many times do we see this through Scripture, especially the Old Testament? We see the people of God hearkening back to when God saved them. Hearkening back to an earlier time, look what God did. It builds your faith to look back and see what God has done in your life. That's what verses 4 through 7 do. They look backwards and they say, this is what God has done. He has rescued me. He has saved me. I called out and he heard me. We look back to gain strength to face today. So we focus on who God is and we focus on what God has done in our lives. And we have this life of praise always being in our mouth. Thanksgiving always being, we have an attitude of gratitude, you might say. If we do these things, if we look back as verses 4 through 7 tells us, and then we look at the promises that verses 8 through 10 talk about. We're blessed when we take refuge in him. We lack no good thing when we seek the face of the Lord. We lack no good thing. So we look back and see how God has worked, and we look forward at his promises, what he has promised to do. because he has never broken a promise. Not ever. Not in all of mankind's history. So we can look back and see how he has worked in our life, and we can look forward and see what he's going to do in our lives. And in fact, I love verses 8 through 10 because it says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." Have you ever had such a presence of the Lord that you could taste and see that he is good? That's what this is talking about. He's look back, see how God has worked in your life. Look to the promises of how he's going to work in your life. Be in his presence so that you can taste and see that he is good. That's an amazing statement of the presence of God. And then verses 11 through 14 is about telling others what God has done in our life. Now, there's some really good reasons to do this. First of all, for the other person, right? It may begin a journey of faith for them if you will share your faith. You will say, this is what God's doing in my life, what God has done in my life. This is what he's rescued me from. This is what he's delivered me from. And now you can be too. So it's great for the other person. It's also good for you, because sharing your faith builds your faith, strengthens your faith, makes your faith stronger to tell somebody else about it. So verses 11 through 14 talk about telling others what God has done. We do that, they are blessed, and so are we. We're blessed because our faith is built. And this section talks about desiring love, want many days, see the good. This is all living with God in mind. This is all living, leaving ourselves out of it, doubling down on what God says, and focusing on him. That's what Psalm 34 tells us to do. And that's the life we can have when we do it. Now, verses 15 through 22 show us that, really this whole psalm, but 15 through 22 especially, shows us that we desire a life that has no problems. But that's never promised. That's not what's presented here either. It's not presented as a life that never has any issues, that never runs into any problems, that never has any disputes. That's not what's given. What's given is God takes you through those. It says when we cry, God hears. It says when we have trouble, God delivers us. When we're brokenhearted, crushed in spirit, God is near. He delivers the righteous, and he redeems the life of his servants. See, that it doesn't say we'll never cry. It says when we cry, God will be near. He hears, and he will be near. That, I think, is something to be thankful for. I think as we look at this week of Thanksgiving, we have so much to be thankful for. We think of family, and we think of church, and we think of friends and our jobs and all these other things. We have a God that's this close to us. We have a God that we can taste and see that he is good. That's pretty amazing. If we focus on who God is and what he has done, we have an attitude of gratitude. You know, if you look back at the history of Thanksgiving, it's really kind of interesting. There was a guy named Winslow was his last name. He wrote down all of the stuff that we know about, frankly, about firsthand account of the first Thanksgiving. It was a three-day party. 3 days of feasting. It's probably a good thing we've narrowed it to one for our waistlines, probably, huh? 3 days of feasting. But have you considered who these people were? On the Mayflower, just over 100 people got off the Mayflower. In the first year, barely 50 of them were still alive. They had no homes. They had no possessions. They'd lost them all. They had no government programs to help them back on their feet. They had no transportation. They had no money. And they had no place to spend money if they had money. Walmart wasn't invented yet. Sam Walton might disagree with me, but it's true. They had nothing. They were probably the most underprivileged Americans in history. And they celebrated for 3 days with boundless faith in God at what he had given them, what he had done for them. 3 days. And they had nothing. We have so much to be thankful for. We have, I think, as we go through this week, we need to think not only of our family and our friends and our jobs and our house and our cars and all of the stuff that we have, all of the people in our lives. We need to remember who God is and what God has done in our life. We need to spend a little bit of time this week tasting and seeing that the Lord is good. We can, if we take ourselves out of it, double down on what God said, and focus on him. That's what this psalm tells us. So will you commit this week? This week, will you commit to doubling down on what God has to say? Of it not being all about your opinion or your preference, but it being about what God says. This week, let's give thanks to the God who gave all of this to us. I'm going to ask that you bow your heads. I know everybody's hungry, so we're not going to have a last song. I'm just going to pray, and we're going to do something spiritual and eat. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for this reminder from your word that who you are and what you have done for us is far more than anything we could have accumulated here. Keep us mindful of that this week. As we go through this week, as we enjoy the time with the families that you've blessed us with the friends that you've blessed us with the church family, with all of the things that you have blessed us with, let us not forget who blessed us with those things. We thank you and we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so I'm going to pray one more time for the food, and then we're going to fire in there and eat it. It is ready, right? Somebody else, anybody else. You guys ready back there? Okay, all right, let's pray. Father, we thank you that we can spend this time together. We thank you for the fellowship that we enjoy with church family. We thank you for this food and pray your blessing upon it and upon all of us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, go.